Exactly.
Oh my god.
Well, I feel like, I don't know, what am I supposed to do with my hands? Oh, it's weird. Just hold my coffee like I do at church. I'm Jesse. I'm an alcoholic.
Jesse.
And I'm just going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So for the early part of my life, most of my adolescent years, my family lived in North Carolina in a really small town. And my daddy was an alcoholic. And for most of my younger memories, as far back as I can remember, my dad was drunk. But he was, you know, I was daddy's little girl, and he was fun, and it was, you know, all the things for me. You know, all of my memories consisted of some sort of event that had to do with that. And I look back and I'm like, okay, so the trips to detox and the trips to the recovery center and in and out of jail and then in and out of prison, like those were just things, you know, like in my life as my memories, like those were just like, this is how life is. And I didn't, you know, I was loved. My parents loved me. My family loved me. I didn't know that it was weird or different, until I was much older. When I was 8 years old, my father had his first heart attack. He drank himself to the point where his heart just didn't work. And, at that point he was required, as we all know, to not drink anymore. He was going to die. And he stopped drinking. And I didn't know until I was much older, you know, he was so angry and so bitter that, you know, despite all he'd been through, all the recovery centers, all the detox, all the everything, he didn't work a program, you know, and I didn't know that until I got sober, and I didn't have the understanding or the compassion for that, and what it must have been like, you know, walking through the years that he did. He lived 4 years sober, before a second heart attack killed him. I was 12 years old. I was daddy's little girl. You know, he was the only person that I felt understood me. And, you know, amidst all the crazy, you know, the counseling and the rehabs and the jails and all this stuff, you know, it was still, he was my person. And I guess from that point forward, I just kind of felt like I didn't have anyone that I could depend on. Now, that being said, my mother was amazing. And I look back at those two and I'm astonished. She's married to an alcoholic who, he was a binge drinker. You know, he would go and get drunk and be gone for days, sometimes a couple of weeks. And my mother, you know, she had three kids and she worked two jobs and she did all of the things. You know, we had food and we had clothes and we had fun and we had everything, you know, and it was all because of her, you know, and I'm like, not realizing all the sacrifices that she made until obviously I became, you know, a mother myself, you know, but it still was a connection issue for me, you know, but amidst all of that, watching my mom do all of the things, you know, the jobs and I remember she worked at a hotel cleaning hotel rooms when my daddy died. And, you know, she worked so hard all the time and she just did all of the things, but she taught us how to do the things we had to do. And it's different for me now having kids, but looking at how we were taught things that, you know, sometimes I look at, you know, my kids don't have those, you know, I mean, at 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, you know, I was washing my clothes. You know, I was getting off the bus at home alone. Like that was just the way it was. And it was not, you know, it was the self-reliance that instilled. It was like, okay, you know, my mom taught us that we could do anything we wanted to do. You know, we had to work hard and we just had to push forward. And we had faith, you know, as a family, we went to church, wasn't on a regular basis, and we had faith, you know, what I thought, you know, faith was. but it was just really surviving a lot, you know? And I didn't drink, when I was younger that much more. I mean, like, I look back and I'm like, okay, after my father died, I was 12. My mother moved to Atlanta for a job. My sister was older, so she stayed behind. She was married, and my brother was older. He was married, so it was just me and my mom, and having this, like, uprooting. It was like complete uprooting of my life at 13 years old. And amidst of all this, my mother decides that it's the appropriate time, and God love her. I mean, I don't know when the appropriate time ever is, but to let me know that my daddy, the one that I had grown up with and loved and believed was who he was, that he wasn't my biological father. And the person that was my biological father was some other person in our quote unquote extended family. And that was a little hard to take. It was this like weird, like, okay, the one person I was connected to, my person, the one that gave me, you know, belonging, I don't really belong to him. It didn't change the way I felt about him, but it did change the way I felt about me. You know, why wouldn't someone want me? Why didn't my biological father want me? Why didn't he want my, you know, like all of the things. And, I tried when I was 13, I wrote a letter to him and said, hey, I know you're who you are and I don't want anything from you. You know, this is, I have a daddy, you know, he died, but he's still my father. And I just want you to know that if you want to have a relationship, you know, great. And because he was part of our extended family, he'd been in my life as long as I can remember. For that day forward, he never spoke to me again. And, I don't know why, you know, I have a few times over the years tried to convince myself whether or not I should try to make another effort. And, he's still alive and he's still, you know, all of the things, but, it just wasn't, this far hasn't been part of God's plan for me. But carrying that, I have to say, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know I was different. Like, I didn't realize until I got sober and understood and worked the steps why I felt the way I felt way before. You know, and people talk in here all the time, like, oh, I know I was an alcoholic from early on. Well, I didn't. I mean, I didn't even know I was an alcoholic until I got sober. Like I literally came in here like, I don't know what the problem is, and I don't know why I can't manage my life, but maybe you guys can help, but I'm surely not an alcoholic. I mean, like, I don't know. But it's my thinking. It's the way I process things and how I deal with things. You know, I was trying not to think too much about, you know, what parts to share and what parts not to share, but the feeling is consistent. You know, it is, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be, but I'm going to be whatever I need to be because I can. I can be the smartest person in the room. I can be, okay, we won't say the quietest, but I could try to be the quietest person in the room. You know, I can be, you know, whatever it was, you know, and how people saw me was really important. But again, I didn't know that it was like a complete deflection of, I can't process, I can't process, I can't process. And it's like everybody else's life. I mean, like, stuff happens and, you know, tragedy happens. And I went to a really good high school. I came into a high school in East Cobb, with a bunch of kids that had grown up together in a, you know, a fairly substantial neighborhood. And it was weird and awkward. And, I pretty much stayed under the radar. You know, I wasn't not popular and I wasn't popular. I was just there. Which was fine, I thought, you know, cause whatever, I can do what I want, you know, it doesn't matter what people think of me. And that's kind of at some point in that period of my life, I realized, okay, I can control what's happening, you know, from being a small girl, my parents fighting and my father leaving and like all of the things, like it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. You know, and then all the little things that continue to happen, and high school was okay. It was nothing you know, spectacular. I didn't drink that much. I, for all intents and purposes, I feel like I, just like any other high school kid, I tried it. I got sick a few times. My senior year in high school, I scored 950 on the SATs. And Georgia Southern was the only college that, that was the minimum. Georgia Southern was the only college I applied for. You know, but the purpose of that, I mean, I graduated college prep. Like, I never really had to try that hard to be a good student. I didn't have to try what I felt was, you know, to accomplish things very hard. But I never felt like I wanted to strive, right? Like I wanted to, it's just like kind of like muddling along. Like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? You know, I wanted to be different. So by that point, I mean, I was, you know, 17, 18 years old and I'm like, okay, I got to, you know, I'm gonna make something in my life. I went to college my first year and nothing spectacular really. You know, I drank and I had a good time and I did all the things. And I came home after my first year from college and I reconnected with a high school boyfriend. At the time we had a mutual friend and, I married that guy 20 years ago. I married that guy, still married to him, you know, but that kind of shifted my life too. I went from living on campus. My mom was, you know, paying for my dorm and then I got an apartment and she was paying for that. And then I'm like, oh, all of a sudden I'm going to move home. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to, you know, move in with my boyfriend. My mom's like, I'm not helping you. Like, if this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do. And I'm like, that's all it took. It was like, okay, I'll show you. And, I moved home and hindsight, you know, I should have done all the things, waited or not, or I don't know. But I worked hard during the day at whatever job I could find. And it became this, like, obsession to, like, I don't know that I thought at the time, oh, I'm going to show you, but it was like that. It was like, I'm going to do everything I can. It doesn't matter what it is, and I can't. And it was crazy. Like, it snowballed. It came. Like, I worked at a laundromat, a wash and fold laundromat, and I worked third shift at Walmart making donuts, and I, you know, and all these things were like, look, I can do all these things. And then I went to school at Kennesaw at night, and I'm like, going to school, I'm going to get an education, I'm going to do all these things, and you said I wasn't going to, it's not like she said I wasn't going to be anything, but it was just that something in me that said, okay, you know, it's on you. It's on you to prove to everyone that you're different. And that really is like the beginning of my crazy. I continued to go to school at night. I continued to take different jobs and I started with a mortgage company and then I used that skill to start working for an affordable housing apartment community. And I'm smart and I picked up quick and I got promoted really quickly, way quicker than I ever should have gotten promoted, which was just fuel to the fire of, I got this. I know exactly what's going on. I mean, look at me. And, I was managing my own property within the first, you know, year of being in the apartment industry. And I'm like, yeah, I know everything. And, I decided to get married. And I did that, and I'm like, I have this great job, and I'm going to school at night, and I'm all the things. I have my own house, and I pay my own bills, and everything's great. And I still, at that point, didn't drink very much. And, you know, my husband used to joke, he's like, he would like try, buy all these different things, like, you know, Hornsby's or whatever, like, try this, maybe you like this, and try that, maybe you like that. And I was like, yeah. And, but it wasn't a regular occurrence. It was just nonstop for me, just like hustle, 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 grind. So when I hear people say grind, I always have a different like reaction to that because that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Nonstop grind. I worked incredibly long hours and I loved it. And then my son was born in 2006 and was like crazy. And I thought to myself, okay, if you ever listen to this, I had zero clue how to be anyone's mother. Zero. Like, my sister had kids, but she lived in North Carolina, and I wasn't around them that much, and I was the youngest in the group of friends we hung out with, and I just didn't know about kids. And I was 26 years old, and my husband was 30, and it was very, very hard. I remember sitting in the kitchen floor, like, rocking back and forth, crying, thinking, and, like, just, like, sobbing, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and Dan was, I don't know, maybe two months old. And I was up in the middle of the night and I was like, just crying, and he wouldn't stop kicking his legs and I was just like, I completely lost my mind. Like at that moment I was like, and I knew that if I didn't step away from that, that was going to be very bad. And, I told Kenneth that something was not right, and I called the doctor as soon as I could and said, hey, something is not right. And, I didn't understand what postpartum was, and, you know, that changed my life, understanding that and being in a situation where she's like, hey, it's okay. And she gave me some medication to kind of help deal with that. But that was just like being completely out of control in a situation in my life where I had everything, you know, in its place, was crazy and hard. And, you know, but the medication did what it was supposed to do. And, you know, a light bulb came on. And it was like, okay, all of a sudden I just fell into this. This is just part of the things that I do. Right? Okay. Husband, house, marriage, family, inner baby. No problem. You know, I got it all figured out. Now that I've got this baby thing figured out, it's going to be super. Right? It's going to be super. And, I was talking with my sponsor kind of about, you know, running through my memories and thoughts of when it actually started. And I had this memory, Dane was about a year old, and I lived on site at a property I managed in Cartersville. And I could remember the intentionality of purchasing vodka and drinking it, right? Like I don't remember at what point I started drinking regularly. I just had this memory of like, oh, I made a drink when I got home from work, you know? And Dane was almost 2 years old, and then there was just this like crazy, like progression of things that happened in my life. My mother-in-law died tragically, quickly, unexpectedly. And I dealt with that, and, you know, we're moving, and my job, because I had to do the best, like I went where the money was. So if they said, hey, you want to manage this deal, you know, you got free rent, you live on site, like, and every time I would change, it would be for something better. It's like, oh, this was a 100 unit property, and this was a 200 unit property, and this was a 500 unit property. And, you know, the more I moved, the more money I made. And, it all seemed like, okay. But so needless to say, we moved a lot, but it's like, it's fine. It's totally fine. Got this. You know, I'm going with the money. I'm going to be the best I could be. Now I got this baby, and you know, everything's going to be great. And I don't know at what point I started drinking to ease it, all the stress. I don't have that moment where I'm like, oh, this is it. I just have these bunch of moments, you know? At that point in 2009-ish, I got offered a job working for a company. I was in between jobs again, because that's what happens. Not only are you out of a job if something happens, but you're also out of a house. So living on site, you know, if they don't want you to work there anymore, which it's never my fault that they don't want me to work there. Not only do you have to get out of the office, but you have to get out of that place that you live, you know. And that was a little stressful a few times. But again, I never got, you know, it's never my fault. You know, but I took this job and I spent 10 years of my life working for this company. I absolutely loved it. I managed, apartment buildings downtown. All of a sudden, this person was like, I was living the dream at that point. Like, I was in Midtown. I was where all the action is happening. I had this beautiful family. I had all of these amazing things. And now I had this amazing career, and I was smart, and I hustled a lot, and I was promoted quickly again. And I started as a property manager in 2009. And within, you know, within 3 years, I was the chief operating officer for this company. Now, let's be clear. It's just a fancy title. And I remember when he gave it to me, he was like, I know it's a fancy title, but that title literally meant everything to me, right? Like, it was like, oh, I'm the COO, which is like all I needed, right? At that point, to just literally blow things up. They helped me and paid for me to get my real estate license. They paid for me to get my broker's license. Not to mention that the man that I worked for, he and I had a great friendship. We were very similar in personalities. We hustled the same. Like, he taught me everything. He was incredible. He still is an incredible person. And, you know, but it also gave me the ability to, you know, be fancy. And so my drinking was like, you know, okay, I'm looking back at it and I'm like, oh, it's no problem. You know, it's not a problem. I don't drink in the morning. You know, that's what I said to my sponsor. I don't drink in the morning except for, you know, Bloody Marys or like when we had put vanilla vodka in our coffee or all the things. But I had this insane, I don't know what to call it other than that my ego and my pride had completely taken over. I can only say that on this side of it, that side of it, I was just the most amazing thing ever. And the rest of the world was out to get me. Because I was so successful, because I was so attractive, because I was so smart, you know, everybody was super jealous of me and my beautiful life. But in actuality, like, in the midst of that, it wasn't enough. You know, it wasn't enough. The house, the beautiful kids, the amazing job, still wasn't enough. Something in me, you know, craved something, you know, it fed on the chaos that, I created for myself. It, you know, I had this sense of need to, prove myself to everyone. And that created a need to seek approval from everyone. And I continually did that, and it was never enough, you know. And then in 2018, I don't know, I was like, I want to have another baby. That'll be great. This is going to be great. I'm going to just have another baby, and everything's going to be great. It's going to calm this chaos in my life. It's gonna fill something, and not that that's the reason I wouldn't change it, you know, and I don't want everyone to hear this and think that, oh, I thought he was gonna fix something. It was just, it felt right. It wasn't like I thought at the time I was using it to fill that chaos. But I was like, okay, whatever's happening, there's something missing. There's something missing. I don't know what that is, and I don't know how to work harder or try harder or get more. And, I started doing all the things, you know, I look back and I'm like, okay, so this, whatever this is, I'm going to pray more, definitely going to pray more. And that's going to do it. And I'm going to try harder, and I'm going to do this Bible study, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to go lots of church, and I'm going to lead a small group, and that's going to do it. You know, all of the things, to fill whatever was missing. My second child was much easier as for me as a person. I was 33 years old and, was fun, and I loved it. And it was absolutely a gift and blessing from God. But needless to say, It didn't fill the void, and it didn't quiet the chaos. And it didn't make me drink less. And, it didn't make me seek less approval. And neither did going to church or reading, you know. I mean, when I tell you I'm insane, like, still kind of insane in this manner, but, like, I'm reading multiple books at one time. I'm trying to do multiple Bible studies at one time. I'm like, please, God, just show me how to be different, how to not be this person. But no one ever saw that. You know, no one ever saw, because you can't see that. You could never see that. Everybody just saw what I thought was Jesse with her shit together. Like nothing bothers her. Nothing, you know, nothing gets to her. Nothing, you know, nothing wavers in that sense. But I literally felt incomplete. And I tried to make myself complete, in any way that I could. And the only way, you know, to deal with some of those things for me, you know, was to go, okay, every time I drank, I felt good. At this point, I was like, I feel good. Head hurts. I'll have a drink. I had a long day at work, and I had lots of long days at work, you know, and I would drink. And, you know, it was just what, you know, it's what everybody does. Look at my life, you know? If you had to work the job I did and have the responsibilities I have, and I run this company, and I have these two kids, and all the things, and, you know, it's fine. It's what everybody does. And, but it didn't, it always came to a point where I said, okay, I have to do something else. This isn't working. I have to do something else. I have to do something else. And, I would try something different, and I would, you know, do this. And then in the midst of this, I'm running this company, operations for this company, and I have all these people that answer to me. And through the years in doing this, like, I look back and it's like, I remember hearing people say it's Jesse's way or no way, you know, and they would say things like, you know, Brian was the owner. And if he would say, you know, if Jesse doesn't like you, you know, Brian's not going to do anything about it. Jesse doesn't like you, you're out of here. You know, and I used to say, well, it's not Jesse's way or no way. It's like Jesse's tried all the other ways, and Jesse's way is the only way that works. That's, I mean, like I've done all the research for you guys. Like, if you just do it my way, and I ran this guy's business like that. And, you know, I made amends to him, and I cried, and he was so gracious and said, I have no idea what you're talking about. But in the midst of this, he decides to take another career, and his partner came in who was not that involved in the management side. And at this point, I was a crazy person. I was a complete crazy person. I knew this business better than anyone else, better than him, even though he'd been part owner of this business for 20 years, but he was in Florida and he didn't run the day to day and he didn't do things my way. And I was like, okay, I'm out of here. Like I look back and I'm like, dude, I just blew that up. I gave notice. I gave a lot of notice, and then I worked through the notice, and they had clients, and I had all this stuff happening with my life. And I'm like, I'm going to find this other job, and I'm just going to fix it. I'm going to change it. What can I do to change it? And, I continued to do side work for this guy because he couldn't run this business without me. Like, that was literally, I'm like, I've been doing this for 10 years. Like, he has no idea. So I'm going to work as a contractor for you because you really need me to, right? Like, you really need me to just give you my advice, all of my wealth of knowledge about your business. And I did that until I had another job that I had gotten where I was managing multiple apartment communities in Macon. And I was scheduling to move to Macon. I had, like, my lease was up, I had a U-Haul, I'd gone to Warner Robins, and I had rented a house, and I had done all the things, and I'm commuting until this happens. It's 3 days in a hotel, and I'm managing these apartment communities with all these people, and it's great, and look at me. And I take my staff to Wild Wings, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because I, you know, I don't know, I'd had enough, I guess, or 4 o'clock, like way later than I, you know, like, and I stayed in this, and I remember it. I don't remember it the way it came at me later on, but I remember it, and it's laughing, and we're drinking, and we stayed, and it was dark, and I don't know at what point I left and went back to the hotel, but within a week or so, the boss came in and pulled me in the room, and she fired me because I had some things that I had said and done that night at Wild Wings, drunk with my staff. And even at that point, I was like, whatever, man. You don't know the whole story. It's fine. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. This is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not God's plan for me. It's totally fine. And I didn't realize that was what happened until I had gotten sober and started working the steps. But that was kind of part of the beginning of the, like, complete unmanageability of my life. So here I am. Oh my God. Like, I literally had to, like, call the landlord and, like, get back into a lease and, like, hope they didn't lease my current house. I'd already rented it. We had gotten a dumpster and cleared out our house. Everything was boxed up. It was 2 weeks from us moving to Warner Robins from Canton. My utilities were scheduled to be turned off, like, all of the things. And here I am with no job. And, like, I have to find a job and I have to, you know, whatever. And I managed to, as always, work all those things out. But I never processed through it, you know? In the midst of, you know, right before that, my father-in-law lived with us and he fell down the stairs in my house, and broke his neck. And, you know, this move and all these changes were kind of part of that too, you know, like getting away from that tragic death in my life. I was the only one there with him, me and my kids, and like trying to figure out how to move the pieces around, you know, because I could always move the pieces around, and then I couldn't, and I just continued to drink. And COVID was just one of those things, man. It was like, I took this other job, I worked from home, and then COVID happened, and I worked from home, and it was great. It was like, everything was just great. It's smoothing out, it's evening out, all the things. And I would drink, you know, I don't drink before 2 o'clock. Nobody drinks before 2 o'clock, and then it's like, I don't drink before 1 o'clock. And then I don't drink, you know, and then I can remember saying to myself, I actually thought this. What do I have to do today to just get to that dream? Like, what are the things like this? You know, the grind was gone at that point. You know, there's no grind. It's what do I have to do? The bare minimum to be able to have drink. I couldn't figure out why I was always broke. I couldn't figure out why unmanageable is not even the word. Like, I didn't even know. I was just like, why is this happening? Like, I can't do this job that I've always done. I can't understand why I feel like crap all the time. I'm like, I've tried everything. Tried everything. And none of it works. And the chaos that I seek and the approval that I seek doesn't go away. You know, I still am trying to fill the empty space. And I remember the day, the last day that I drank, and it was crazy. When I tell you that it's insanity, like, I look back at it and it's insanity. Like, I didn't eat, and I started drinking. I don't know. I was early. It was like noon. You know, like, I did as much as I could. And then at some point I was like, okay, work. I have all this crazy chaos in my life, and I have to just, I don't know. But it just, like, I can remember just, like, standing, like, I was at the bar and I couldn't even sit down. Like, I just stood at the bar and I just drank, and I slid the glass by. She slid it back. And I mean, like, I don't know how many times I did that, you know, and that, that day I had a conversation with someone that is really important in my life. I don't know why at that point it stuck, but this person said, you know, you have a problem and you need to deal with it. And I went home and sitting on my back porch and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, I have to figure out what to do with this problem. And I'm so good at it, right? And this other person popped in my head. And this woman is someone that I met at church. And I knew that she did volunteer work with the recovery group. And I guess that's the connection I put. I didn't know that much about her personally other than, you know, seeing her at church and just her spirit and her energy. And God just, you know, radiated through her. And I opened up my phone. I hadn't been to church because of COVID and nobody's going anywhere. And I don't know how many months it had been. I always say 9 months because that seems like, you know, good number. But it had been months since I had seen her, talked to her. And I just sent her a message on Facebook Messenger and said, you know what, I have a problem. And she said, okay, you know, have you ever read the big book? And I was like, what's that? You mean the Bible? I mean, like, you know, and she's like, and then we had this conversation. She's like, let's go to a meeting. And I was like, well, okay, check that box. You know, I'm doing what I got to do for this problem. And that night I drank, like, it doesn't even make sense. I do remember that I was watching Game of Thrones nonstop. And I was going up and down the stairs from my room to the kitchen. And I don't know how many times I did that. I don't know how, it doesn't make sense. Like I couldn't get drunk enough, you know? The next morning I got up and I met her here and I picked up a white chip and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I cried the whole time. And, but this is what I have to do. Cause you know, I do whatever I have to do. Whatever I have to do. And my sponsor spoke in that first meeting, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to talk to her. And I asked her to be my sponsor, and she said yes. And immediately we started meeting, and we started going through the steps. And I would hear people say about peeling back the onion and all of the things, and I was like, that's so weird. You know, she would say things to me like, more will be revealed. And I'd be like, that's so dumb. I want it revealed now. And the day, like, I look back at it and it's like, oh, I don't know what I would have done had I not had that person say that to me. And it changed my life. And I just kept showing up. You know, I worked from home. I had a job that, you know, I know now that God had given me that ability to come to a meeting every day. And I came every day, you know, because I'm an overachiever. And if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it really well. I'm like, and it took me a minute. Like, I was like, I don't know. Am I alcohol? I don't know. Am I? And then I would sit here and I would listen to you guys and you guys would say things and I'd be like, oh, right? You know, that makes sense. And all that, you know, and all the layers started coming off. And, I mean, I'm not a finished product by any means. But I keep showing up and I keep working the steps and I keep doing what you guys say to do. You know, I've had some things happen to me, you know, some tragedy and some death and all of those things in sobriety and loss of job. And I show up here and I go, I don't know what to do. And, you guys tell me what you did and how it worked. And I had to, you know, I had to believe that, you know, cause that's all, I mean, was I going to believe what I did worked? What I, you know, and I started just listening more, believe it or not, I don't know if my husband would agree to that, but it started quieting the chaos. And all of a sudden that didn't serve me like it had before, you know? And I started hearing God through everything that you guys said, you know, the spiritual experience and all the things. Like, I started feeling a part of, you know, the empty space where I didn't know what it was, started filling up. And I said I wasn't going to cry, and like, here we go. So y'all get your fill, because it doesn't happen much. But that's part of that too, right? Like, you know, I wasn't going to let people see me. You know, I wasn't going to let people know me, because if you really knew me, you know, people would say nice things to me. I remember early on, like, you guys would compliment me or say things to me, and I'd be like, if you only knew, or, you know, you really, you know, you're just saying that because you're, you know, trying to be nice. Let's be clear. That's not us. You know, and that's something I couldn't have imagined. Being able to stand up here in front of you guys like this, and say that when I hear, you know, keep coming back, it works if you work it, really does. You know, even when I get to the point that I can't, that I think I have it again, and I, you know, I don't go to as many meetings, or I don't call my sponsor, and I don't call other women, and I watch a lot of Chicago Fire. You know, there's something in me that says, you know, you need to go, and then I show up, and it fills that empty space, because God is here, you know, and I always say, you know, I did all the church things that I did, and I just thought that wasn't for me. That God was great for all of you guys, but he's not great for me. You know, but you guys show me that he's also great for me. And I didn't know that before. So, you know, my takeaway from all of this is that, you know, just do what other people say to do. Work the steps, get a sponsor, you know, thoroughly. Mm-hmm. Honesty is not like one of the things. Even now, even at 2 years, I struggle. And I catch myself writing it down and looking up definitions like on a regular basis for me now, because I can't, you know, it doesn't naturally come to me, but I keep showing up, and, it makes it so much easier to walk through it with you guys and to understand that I didn't understand that this is a program of living or whatever you guys say, and practice all these principles and all this stuff. And like, I just want the rules. Check, check, check. And, everything else is going to work out, but it's really about this, you know, it's really about the principles and about, you know, what do I have to do to be like that and just do the next right thing. But I didn't know how to do that. And you guys showed me how to do that. So that's all I'm going to say today.
Get out of here.